In Search of Life by Anna Tikva. Chapter 1. The Funeral. Rain drizzled down the brightly coloured umbrellas and splashed to the ground. The fog was so thick that the people standing around in a circle were shrouded in a misty haze. In the middle lay a coffin, with one simple bouquet of flowers perfectly scented on the dark wood. A short, stocky, elderly man was proclaiming the last words of comfort, but oddly enough, no one was crying. Only one woman in a dark dress stood with tears in her eyes. She was thin, almost frail-looking, with light brown hair pulled loosely back and pretty blue eyes that seemed full of pain. Draped around her shoulders was the arm of a young girl in her teens. Thin like her mother, Verity Lovell also wore a dark navy dress, but she was taller, with long brown hair and coffee-coloured eyes. Today, here in the rain, her big brown eyes held a mix of emotion. She herself was not crying, and she wondered why her mother was. Yes, the man in the coffin was her father, Dan Lovell, but everyone at the funeral knew that he had been an abusive alcoholic for the last 10 years. Verity was quite aware that many in the crowd thought her mother was crazy to have stayed by his side right to the end. When her father had finally died after a lengthy illness, there had definitely been a sense of relief for all of them. Deep inside, she felt guilty for feeling so happy at a funeral, but she had to admit that was how she felt. Now there would be no more drunken rages to endure, no more waking up at night to hear her father yelling at her mother. Maybe now the meagre wage that her mother managed to earn each week would provide food for all of them. It had been so infuriating to watch her father down bottle after bottle to his own derangement when they had all been so desperately hungry. So why on earth did her mother look so sad? What now was Reverend Tobias saying? That her father, Dan Lovell, was looking down from heaven on them? That God was a forgiving God and could see past such a sickness to the true heart of a man? That her father was going to dwell in peace with Jesus forever? Perplexed, Verity looked quizzically at her mother, but Cara Lovell only put her finger to her lips. Why would God invite such a man to heaven? She couldn't even imagine her father being thankful for such a good place. He had always mocked good people, sneered at churches, and tossed aside the Bible as a book of myths. The thought of her father up in heaven, surrounded by angels, seemed like such an ironic fate that she almost laughed out loud. Glancing up at her older brother Thomas beside her, she wondered if he found this funny as well. Thomas, however, was staring at the ground. His hair, no longer slicked carefully back, had become a wet mass of curls. She was happy to have his arm around her shoulder and see his best friend Ken on his other side. Thomas was so fortunate to always have had Ken. They had played together since they were tiny tots on the front lawn. Through all the difficult years with Dad, Thomas had taken refuge in this friendship. In a way, Thomas was more a part of Ken's family than his own. When Reverend Tobias finally concluded with a prayer, everyone was greatly relieved to escape from the rain and head back to the church. As soon as they were all in the car, Verity blurted out the question that was confusing her. "Mum," she exclaimed in perplexity, "why did Reverend Tobias say that Dad was in heaven? Dad wouldn't even have wanted to go there." Cara turned around to look at her daughter. There was a slight look of exasperation on her face. Ever since Verity had learned to speak, she had questioned everything. When she was little, the questions weren't difficult for Cara to answer. They just required lots of patience. However, in the last few years, the questions had become steadily more difficult, and many times Cara felt unable to help. With a measure of compassion, she reached over to gently pat Verity's arm. "God is a merciful God," she said softly. "Perhaps he saw that underneath all the bad behaviour, your father had a good heart. If it wasn't for alcohol..." Thomas broke in with a laugh. "When you're alive, they scare you with burning in hell, and when you're dead, they say everyone goes to heaven." Cara glanced reproachfully at Thomas as Ken's father started the car, but Thomas continued anyway. "It's all just a big hoax. Everyone says something different. I don't think I believe in God at all." Verity ignored her brother's developing atheism. "Where in the Bible does it explain about who goes to heaven?" she asked seriously. Her mother sighed. "The Bible? I don't know, honey. I've never read it. Reverend Tobias has, though. He must know." Musing this over in her own mind as they headed back to the church, Verity decided that she had to find the answer to this question. As horrible as he had been, he wasn't sure that she wanted her dad to be burning in hell, but it just didn't make any sense for him to be in heaven. Ken's dad led the procession of cars back to the church, where a luncheon was to be served. Thomas attempted to change the conversation and began speaking with Ken's father about the camping trip they had invited him to join. "Will we really camp for 2 weeks, Mr. Norton?" "Yes, Thomas, 2 weeks up in Jasper National Park. We'll take you to see the Rocky Mountains, Lake Louise, glaciers, and anything else you like." The excitement showed on Thomas's face. Just to stay at Ken's house for 2 weeks would have been exciting enough, but to travel? As a family, they had never been able to travel anywhere. This was going to be the adventure of a lifetime. Verity smiled. She was glad Thomas had this to look forward to. Thomas was very special to her. They'd had their share of fights and arguments, but Thomas had always been there for her when she needed him. In her younger years, she had run to him many times for protection. Whether it had been the bully at school or fear of her father's rages, she knew Thomas would help her out. Now that they were in their teens, he had become one of her best friends. While they disagreed on many issues, she felt completely comfortable discussing anything with him. Breaking from her own thoughts, Verity realized her mother was speaking of heaven. "It must be wonderful," Cara was carrying on dreamily, "to be up in heaven with the angels, to be up where the grass is always green and flowers bloom all around. Beautiful music will float through the skies and it will always be light." Cara laughed a little. "Imagine looking down on your own funeral and hearing what everyone is saying about you." "How do you know that that's what will happen, Mum?" Verity asked. Her mother rarely spoke of such things. They hadn't been able to attend church regularly, and religion had been taboo when Dad was around. Until today, Verity had not given much thought to life after death. "Well, dear, that's just what Reverend Tobias always says. He's been a minister for many years, so he should know." "Does it say that in the Bible?" "I'm sure it must, in many places. Why don't you ask him yourself?" Cara encouraged. They pulled into the church parking lot, and Verity got out quickly. She'd resolved to do just that. She would ask the minister. As she made her way up the steps, she noticed that people weren't fussing over her in the same way. The funeral was over. Dan Lovell was finally buried. The food was good, and most people were happily eating, laughing, and talking with their neighbours. Verity saw Reverend Tobias and his wife in a corner, enjoying a bacon quiche. "Perfect," she thought. "I'll go right over." However, before she could make it across the room, a tall grey-haired woman, her face strikingly similar to Verity's, enveloped her in a warm embrace. "Verity, my darling, I'm so glad to see you." Taking a step back, Verity was quite pleased to see that this woman was her aunt, Judy Colmer. "You must have grown a foot since I last saw you," exclaimed her aunt admiringly. "You look all grown up, in fact. How old are you?" "I'm almost 16, Aunt Judy," she beamed. "It's so wonderful to see you again." Aunt Judy apologized for not being at the funeral service. "I so wanted to be there for my brother's funeral. I know most people are probably rejoicing that he's dead and gone, but I will always miss the Dan I used to know." Her face clouded over for a moment, and she dabbed at her eyes with a tissue. Then she went on to explain. "My plane was delayed for hours, and I had so much trouble hailing a taxi. At least I'm here now. Anyway, I have a wonderful idea for all of you," she said enthusiastically, her dark eyes lighting up with a sparkle. "I must speak to your mother about it first, though." With a pat on her arm, Aunt Judy hurried off to Verity's mother, who was coming toward them with open arms. Verity smiled to herself. She'd always liked her Aunt Judy. Her aunt knew the truth about the alcohol problems and the struggles they had endured. Whatever would they have done without Aunt Judy's frequent phone calls and generous gifts of money? Some day Verity hoped she could visit her aunt in the faraway province of Ontario, where she owned a remarkably successful grocery store. If only Dad had been more like Aunt Judy, maybe they would have lived in a big country home like hers and helped out the poor, instead of being the beggars. Verity was curious about what the wonderful plan could be, as she watched her mother and Aunt Judy discussing something quite animatedly together. Then she remembered her important questions for Reverend Tobias. Seeing he was still in the corner, she hurried over. "How are you going, poor girl?" he asked compassionately, as she sat down beside them. "Have you had a bite to eat?" his wife inquired kindly. "Not yet," she smiled. "Reverend Tobias, I need to ask you a question first. How do you know that my dad is in heaven?" The minister paused, surprised. "Well, you see, my dear," he began, "everyone has an immortal soul. When we die, the soul lives on and the angels carry it to heaven to be with God forever." "Where does it explain about that in the Bible?" Verity asked. Reverend Tobias cleared his throat and reached for his napkin. He wiped his face, set down his food, and walked over to his coat. From the inside pocket he pulled out a very small Bible. "Now, Verity," he said authoritatively as he returned, "there are lots of places where the Bible speaks of heaven as being our future dwelling place. Here's one in John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Reverend Tobias also showed Verity 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, where Elisha saw Elijah taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, he added, "It states that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." It was all said so fast that Verity didn't have a chance to look at the verses carefully. "You wouldn't happen to have a pen and paper, would you?" she asked, wishing she thought to get that first. Mrs. Tobias kindly produced both items from her purse, and Verity asked the minister to state the verses once more so that she could write them down. "Does everyone go to heaven?" Verity inquired politely, having jotted down the three references. "Well, no," Reverend Tobias said, his face reddening slightly. "If a person is exceedingly wicked, they go to hell and burn forever." "Where does it explain in the Bible about who goes there?" Verity probed further. She hoped there would be a verse somewhere that would clearly state the qualifications for making it to heaven. "I can see that good people might go there," she continued, "but my dad, you know he wasn't a good man. He never came to church, and he made fun of people who believed in God. Why would he go to heaven?" Reverend Tobias glanced uneasily at his wife, but she only shook her head. "Verity, you must understand, dear, that of course I'm not God," he explained. "I can't say for sure what God would choose for your father, but it's my understanding that God is a very merciful God. Hell is a horrible, horrible punishment. Only the worst sinners go there. Your father was a very sick man. It wasn't really his fault that he became an alcoholic and lost control when he was drunk, so I believe God will see through all that and give him a place above." "I see," Verity said slowly, although she still didn't feel sure. Instead, she was realizing that there was a lot she didn't understand about God, about death, even about life. She was an exceptionally deep thinker for a young girl, but religion wasn't a topic she had ever pondered seriously before. Now it all seemed incredibly important, and she felt an overwhelming desire to find the answers. She was just about to ask Reverend Tobias to show her some passages about God's mercy when his wife spoke up. "I think your mother wants to speak to you, Verity dear," announced Mrs. Tobias. Verity looked up and saw her mother standing alone, waving at her, trying to get her attention. "Thank you, Reverend Tobias," Verity nodded, returning the pen and tucking the piece of paper into her pocket before she hurried across the room. Kara's face was alight with joy. "Verity, I have wonderful news for all of us," she exclaimed. "Aunt Judy has invited us to come and live with her in Ontario. It's been quite lonely for her since Uncle Ned passed away, and you know she has that huge house out in the country. She's even offered me a job at the grocery store and occasional work for you and Thomas." Verity drew in a deep breath, trying to take all this in at once. Saskatchewan had always been her home. This would mean leaving behind all the people she'd grown up with and beginning grade 11 at a strange school. On the other hand, she knew her mum was struggling to keep a steady job. Working for Aunt Judy would mean fair and reliable employment, and they would get to live in a big house in the country. Home had only ever been one crowded rental unit after another, always in the centre of town, surrounded by pavement and cement walls. Aunt Judy's offers sure sounded inviting. But then there was Thomas. "Mum, I think I like the idea," Verity spoke hesitantly, "but Thomas won't, I know it." They both looked over at Thomas. There in the foyer, he bantered about with Ken, obviously comparing which of them was taller. "They're like brothers," whispered Mum. "He's really had the best of friends." She gazed a moment more and then turned sharply away. "It is going to break his heart. You're right, Verity. But I feel I have to take this opportunity. We've always been so desperately poor. Life has been so hard. I can't go on like this forever." At this moment, Kara Lovell, who had maintained her composure all morning, broke down sobbing into her daughter's arms. "It's okay, Mum," Verity said reassuringly, holding her close. "It's true. You've put up with so much and worked so hard. This is a wonderful opportunity for you, for all of us." Aunt Judy, seeing and hearing the sudden change in emotions, hurried over, as did several others. "Kara, are you okay? What's happened?" she asked with deep concern. Hearing only sobs, Aunt Judy turned to Verity. "What's wrong with your mother?" "Nothing," smiled Verity, "except that she wants to take you up on your offer to live in Ontario." Then it's all settled, clapped her aunt joyfully. What's this? Broke in a deep, concerned voice. Who's going to Ontario? Gazing back over their shoulder, Verity saw that Thomas and Ken had walked over to join them. She knew that this news would be devastating for him. It didn't seem to her that this was the right time or place to tell Thomas about the offer. Aunt Judy, however, thought differently. You're going to Ontario, Thomas. All of you are going to come and live with me. Your mum can work in the grocery store. She didn't get any further, because a wild-eyed Thomas burst out. You've got to be joking. We aren't leaving here. This is our home. I'm not leaving my friends. Kara raised her tear-stained face and pleaded. It's a wonderful offer, Thomas. Please, for my sake, accept it. Thomas gazed around in shocked dismay, astonished that such a life-shattering decision had been made so quickly without any input from him. Then, unable to endure the idea, he turned in despair and took off from the room, with Ken following close behind.